To the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. Give you a minute to get flipped over there. Thankful for you all who are back out tonight, and won't keep you long tonight. I didn't mean to be that long this morning, but gets away from you. Tonight I want to talk to you about, this is of course our Sunday night crowd, and as I look around the room, me and Matt, we've kind of talked about this, but this is kind of our base crew, and the ones that normally it's a little thicker than it is tonight, so it is what it is. But I know that as I look around the room tonight, I believe I'm sitting in a room full of saved individuals. And so tonight I want to talk to you about just that. And the title of this message, or sermonette, whatever you want to call it, is Where Will Salvation Take You? And that's what I want to spend just a few minutes tonight. Just kind of encouraging you and kind of challenging you tonight that once we're saved, that is not the end of the game. It's just beginning. And I don't know about you, but it seems the older I get, the more I realize that our salvation is something that ought to excite us. And it ought to encourage us, and I come back to that word that I used this morning, but it ought to be our desire to repay what's been given to us. And I don't know about you, but when someone gives you a gift, you always try to, in turn, repay the favor. It's just human nature. Someone does something nice for you or gives you something, it's always nice to do something in return. And so I don't know about you, but when the Lord went to the cross for me and for you, the greatest gift that has ever been given, it ought to be our desire and our will to repay the favor or do all that we can. And so tonight I want to talk to you just a minute about that. Where will salvation take you? And there in Isaiah chapter 12, the first three verses are our text, but we'll be all over the Bible tonight. And let's just read those three verses. It says, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." You know, the word in this text, salvation, is used three times, and the one of the most important words in the entire Bible, if you didn't know that. In fact, it is used 164 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word comes from a Hebrew word, which means deliverance and victory. And in the New Testament, it comes from, of course, a Greek word that means deliverance, preservation, or preservation. I'll learn how to read in a minute. Preservation and safety. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I thought those words were exactly what hit the nail right on the head. When I think about my salvation on a daily basis, I think about the deliverance. I think about preservation, and I certainly think about the safety that is engulfed in knowing Jesus Christ in my heart. I mean, you think about some of the situations. You think about driving down the highway. That's Russian roulette these days, is it not, Brother Dale? You know, he talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We ought to pray for the others on the road. But seriously, you know, people talk about being scared to fly and scared to do these things. I would say the scariest thing in the world these days is just driving up and down the good old highway. It's crazy. And so you think about all those things and how close we are, all are, to death. It's closer than you think. And yet, you know, when I think about death, And of course, no one wants to die, and no one, you know, we all want to live. But when you think about our salvation and where and what it secures, it's not quite as scary, is it? And some of us, as we live to grow older and we get longer in tooth, we sometimes even, I wouldn't say look forward to it, but in another sense, yeah, we do. It's not that big a deal. And I know that, you know, I've got kids and those things, and you do too, and grandkids, and we all want to, you know, live and to watch them grow and do all those things. But yet, you know, this world that we call home for now is not quite what it used to be. And I don't know about you, but there's, you know, I long to see heaven. We talk about it, we preach about it, we study about it, and it ought to be on the forefront of our minds and something that is exciting to think about. You know, salvation is what we receive, obviously, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, and salvation, as we know, is a gift of God. And salvation is not a thing that we will receive someday. It is, I repeat, it is a present-day possession. Do you understand that? Your salvation is something that you possess every day. When Jesus comes into your heart, the Holy Spirit is among you, is inside of you, and it lives within you each and every day of your life. And that's the way you ought to live your life. That's the way you ought to treat other people. People ought to recognize and understand without a shadow of a doubt whether you're saved or not. And that ought to be important to us. You know, many of us, we talk about being a Christian. We talk about being members of the church. We talk about so many things. And, you know, it ought to be important to us that others see Jesus in us. And, you know, in a time and a world that we live in today, it's getting less and less important. You walk out and it's not the majority anymore. You walk up and down the streets and we're the minority. People, you can just see it. You can see it. You go, and I'm not picking on Oklahoma City or Tulsa, but they're more populated. You go spend a few hours there walking up and down the streets, in and out of the stores, this and that, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. We live in a wicked and hateful world, and people are just out to get what they can get and get up and do it all again. And so, you know, as I was thinking about this week, I thought about where will salvation take you? And I couldn't help but think about some examples that I wanted to mention tonight. We talk about Israel and how they were brought out of bondage. We talk about Jonah and getting him out of the belly of the whale. How about David out of the pit? How about Paul out of his lost condition? And certainly each and every one of us, it brought us from darkness to light. You know, we can all sit here and think about and ponder about the time in our life before we knew Jesus Christ. It's not a very pleasant thought, is it? It's something that, yeah. And some, you know, it's something that really is kind of frightening to think about those years past and what salvation has done for each and every one of us. And so that's where I want us to be tonight. And we're going to flip and flop through the Bible, but first things I want us to see is our salvation will take us to heaven. Salvation, of course, is the key to everything. It opens the door to the kingdom of God. Think about, if you will, turn your Bibles over to John chapter 14, and we're going to read some scripture tonight. But I'll give you just a second to get there, but obviously, our salvation will take us to heaven. Look at John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you." Look here. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That ought to brighten our days. That ought to brighten our nights. Scripture tells us that he's prepared a place for us, and where he will be, we'll be also. That ought to be the light of our lives. You think about salvation, you think about that glory, the glorious city of heaven, and I've already mentioned that each and every one of us who have trusted in the name of Jesus, we're going to be there someday. And so we ought to understand and realize that salvation is certainly going to take us to heaven, but that goes without saying. You know, I think many of us, we stop right there when we talk about our salvation. You know, we as we're out witnessing, and 9 out of 10 times you talk to the everyday average person on the street who claims to be saved. And, you know, you get in a conversation with them, and they're secure in their salvation, and they want to talk about heaven and going to heaven. But I want to talk about what you're doing while you're here. I want to talk about your life. I want to talk about what you're doing for Jesus. And I think this is where many of us fall short. But our salvation ought to take us to holiness. We ought to, you know, if you look over with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and you can turn there if you want. If not, I'll get over there. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I bring that up to tell you that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, that ought to be our motto. We ought to wear a T-shirt. You just talk about tattoos these days, but that ought to be right here, right up front. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means the things that you were doing. That means the people you were hanging out with. That means the way you used to talk, the way you used to cuss people, or the places you used to hang out, or the places you used to live are no more. We're new. We're a new creature. Therefore, we need a new home. We need a new way of treating folks. We need a new way of living our lives. And so salvation is more than just a guaranteed trip to heaven. It ought to push us to holiness. Salvation ought to alter our lives in a good way. In a good way. You know, the thing is none of us can receive Jesus Christ and stay the same. And so if I see a person who claims to know Jesus Christ, and I've known you before, and you're still doing the same things, you're still talking the same way, heaven forbid, but I'm going to question your sincerity when you talk about your salvation. And we talk about it all the time, but you know, we talk about our fruits of our labor. We talk about, you know, looking at one another and seeing. People will see what they see, and they'll know immediately where we're at when it comes to holiness. You know, one mark of true repentance in salvation is a drastically changed life. I didn't say a changed life. I said a drastically changed life. I highlighted that word. And we ought to certainly stay true to that. There will be a difference. There most certainly will be a difference in our life. If you look over to Galatians chapter 5, we see that very quickly. You can get over there. I'll get over there. Maybe. I told you we were going to read some scripture. I lost my mark. There it is. But look at Galatians with me, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see the mark of a new man, of a changed man, of a drastically changed human being are all those things, the fruits of the Spirit. People ought to see those in us. You know, one that used to be short-tempered and foul-mouthed, we shouldn't be that way anymore. These things ought to be on our hearts and our minds. These things ought to come up when people push our buttons, when we get stressed, when we get put in situations that we used to would have blown a gasket. We used to would have done this or done that. We think about these things, and this is what salvation does to a man or a woman, but it causes us to be different. It causes us to think about these things. And the reason I bring this up is because if our hearts are truly changed and our lives are something different, then these things are going to be right on the tip of our tongue. They're going to be the centerpiece of our lives. And we're going to be all these things that it talks about. We're going to love. And that's not a word. That's not something we just say, but that's an action. We've taught it. Brother Matt's taught it, preached it. But love is most certainly an action. And a saved man or a saved woman we ought to love, and and that ought to be something that is special. We look at those words: long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Does that describe you tonight? Does that describe your life? Does that describe who you are and how you treat others? When people see you and think about you, when they mention your name, is that something that is mentioned or not? You see, salvation not only takes us to heaven and takes us to holiness, but it will take us right into harvest. Sharing the gospel is a mark of a genuine, saved human being. Look over at Acts with me, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be," what does it say, "witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Did you know each and every day of a saved person's life, you're to be a witness? You're to be spreading the gospel. And I know many of you, and this is the excuse I get all the time, but it's hogwash, because there are so many ways that we can spread the gospel and bring others into the fold. And many of us, our excuses are, "Well, I'm not well versed. I can't speak. I'm not a public speaker." I tell you tonight, it's in the way you live your life. Go back to what I just said. It's in being meek. It's being gentle. It's being loving. It's being kind. When others see that in you, that's how you bring them into the fold, because then, and only then, they want to know what causes that. What causes you to be that way? It doesn't take a public speaker. It doesn't take elegant words to show people love, to be patient with one another, to love one another, to be kind to one another. But when we do those things, others see Jesus in us. You know, Jesus, of course, never called us to be lazy. We're to be lights for Him and to shine bright each and every day. More importantly, Mark chapter 1, verse 17, we're to be fishers of men. Think about those things. And then lastly tonight, our salvation will take us to the house of God. And this is where many of us, we miss the boat. Look over with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as they see a day approaching." How are we to love one another? How are we to know what's going on in one another's lives? How are we to lift one another up if we don't convene with one another? If we're not in God's house together, when will we be able to do all those things? You see, our salvation is always accompanied by the desire to gather with the saints and worship the Lord. I get so sick and tired of listening to people tell me that they can be a Christian, be saved, and I don't have to be a member of a church. I don't have to go to church to be saved. And you don't. You don't. The Bible never says that you have to be those things. What the Bible does say is once you are those things, you're to join, you're to yoke yourself with a New Testament church, and you're to serve. And I say this, that none of us can serve like we're supposed to serve. None of us can love the brethren like we're supposed to unless we assemble ourselves in our house and we see one another, we meet with one another. I don't know about you, but we ought to look forward to the day that we get to come and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. This ought to be a day and a night that we look forward to each and every day. And yet, I say that many of us, we look at this as an obligation. We look at this as something that we have to do. We look at this as something that we must do to keep appearance. Well, if they see me doing this or that on a Sunday, they'll know that I wasn't in church. You see, this is a blessing. This is a gift that we get to come to church. We get to assemble ourselves. We get to see one another. Jesus went to church. There should be a desire to praise, worship, and adore the Lord. You see, you know, it all goes back to the cross, and it all goes back to that gift. And we ought to want to do as we've been done unto. You think about the greatest gift. You think about the torture and the torment that Jesus went through at the cross, the least we can do is assemble ourselves in his house. The least we can do is to be holy and to worship him. You know, as I think about this, I think about where my salvation will take me and where it's taken me. And ultimately, I know that we all want to get to heaven. But I certainly tonight want to be as holy as I can. I most certainly want to be a part of the harvest. I don't know about you, but there's no greater feeling than spreading the gospel and seeing a soul come to know Jesus Christ and know that you might have had some small part in that. And I tell you, if you ever do that one time, if you're ever just a part of that one time, it'll light a fire in you that can't be put out. It's something that will continue to burn in you, and your desire will only grow stronger and stronger. And so we ought to want to be as holy as we can be. We ought to want to be a part of the harvest. And we certainly, certainly, certainly ought to want to be the type of Christian that's in God's house each and every time the doors are open. And you know, I'll leave you with this tonight. And Brother Darren, you can come. Sister Betty, you can come. And we'll sing a song of invitation tonight. I know there's not many of us, but I want to give you the opportunity to come and to pray. But, you know, as this week, as I was thinking about my salvation, thinking about the things that I've mentioned tonight, and I'll leave you with this tonight. You can take it for what it is. But if your salvation won't take you to holiness, the harvest, or to the house of God, you think about this. If your salvation won't do those things, then it probably won't get you to heaven either tonight. And so you think about that. You think about your holiness. You think about your harvest. You think about what you've done for the kingdom. And then you think about your attendance in God's house every time the doors are open. And I'll just leave you with that. Is your salvation the type? Would you count on it that you're going to get to heaven through those things? Think about that. And be sure. And be sure tonight that you're trusting in Jesus and your heart is where it's supposed to be. What number are we going to sing, Brother Darren? Page 254. Let's stand tonight.